Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. On this Monday, the day after Selection Sunday, the field of 68 is set. Got plenty to talk about on the show. I also have a special guest, Gabe Reynolds, joining me on the show, talking a little bit March Madness, as I've already filled out my brackets. Who got snubbed? Who was deserving of what seeds, and who can win it all? The overall number one seed is the defending NCAA champions, UConn, but are they vulnerable? And does winning the conference championship really matter? Because I want to talk about two teams. One won their conference championship, one was defeated in the first round, and they got the same seed. And I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant on that. We also have Columbus Lions. They got the win over the Amarillo Venom. The River Dragons sweep the Zydeco. Columbus State baseball, Columbus State softball. Plenty to talk about with high school baseball. We've got a jam-packed show, so let's go ahead and get started. I've got my bracket in front of me. The field of 68 is set. And the number one overall seed is the defending NCAA champion UConn Huskies, which, by the way, they got a tough bracket because they could possibly be facing two of their opponents that made it to the Final Four last season. But the number one seeds are UConn, Houston, Purdue, and North Carolina. There's a lot of questions on if you win the conference tournament, should you get rewarded if you're in a Power 5 conference? Well, Iowa State did not get rewarded for winning the Big 12 because of their RPI, and they got a number 2 seed. And not just a number 2 seed, but they're in the same bracket with UConn. You also got Arizona that was projected to be a number 1 seed, but they lost in the conference tournament. Let's start in the East region where UConn is playing Stetson, the number 16 seed. This is their first tournament appearance. You got the 8-9 matchup. Florida Atlantic, that went to the Final Four last year, going up against Northwestern. I've got UConn advancing over Stetson. I got Florida Atlantic advancing over Northwestern. So then you got a second round matchup between two Final Four teams last year. My first 12-5 upset. Sometimes I pick all 12-5 upsets. I got UAB beating San Diego State. I think that San Diego State, they went to the championship last year. UAB wins the conference championship in the American Athletic Conference. I see an upset here. And they will take on the Auburn Tigers, which I have them advancing over Yale. I'm shocked that Auburn is a number 4 seed. This was a team that was ranked all year. This was a team that won the SEC championship. It's their third conference championship in school history. How is Auburn a number 4 seed? And not just a number 4 seed, they're in the same bracket with the overall number 1 seed, UConn. I got Auburn advancing. I got Auburn beating UAB, by the way. They're going to have an easy path to the Sweet 16 where they will face UConn. BYU and Duquesne, first tournament appearance for the Dukes of Duquesne since 1977. I got an upset. I got Duquesne beating BYU. Illinois, Morehead State. Illinois, they're going to advance over there. Washington State and Drake. I got Drake upsetting Washington State as a number 10 seed. You got Iowa State taking on South Dakota State. Iowa State advances over there. Now let's go over to the South region. Houston, the number 2 overall seed, taking on Longwood. The 8-9 matchup, Nebraska and Texas A&M. I got Nebraska advancing in that one. Look, I like the 5-12 matchup. There's always an upset with a 12 seed. And sometimes I will just pick 12 seeds. I got another 12 seed I'm picking. James Madison over Wisconsin. Duke and Vermont, I got Duke advancing as a number 4 seed. Texas Tech, NC State. Look, NC State, 5 games in 5 days. They were a bubble team going into the ACC tournament. They got hot. They win the ACC tournament, upsetting North Carolina. But I think that their time is going to fizzle out. I've got Texas Tech beating NC State, which I'm shocked that NC State was a number 11 seed. They were a bubble team coming into the tournament, so that does make sense. Kentucky and Oakland. Kentucky is starting to get healthy. A lot of people are looking at Kentucky as a number 3 seed to go to the Final Four. Well, I do have them beating Oakland. You got Florida. There was a runners-up in the SEC tournament to Auburn. They will await the Boise State-Colorado matchup. I got Colorado winning this game. And then, in my bracket, I've got Colorado beating Florida. Marquette taking on Western Kentucky, the 2-15 matchup. I mean, we've seen 15 seeds win this matchup. I mean, we've seen 2-16 seeds beat 1 seeds in the history of the NCAA tournament. Not this time. Marquette is just too strong. Shaka Smart is a great coach. He's going to have them ready to go. And then I've got Marquette beating Colorado to take on Kentucky, where Kentucky beats Marquette. The second round matchups, I got Houston beating Nebraska. I got Duke beating James Madison. I've got Kentucky beating Texas Tech. I've got Marquette beating Colorado. All right, Sweet 16 matchups. You got Houston and Duke, and you got Kentucky and Marquette. I think Kentucky wins here. I think Houston beats Duke, and I think Houston beats Kentucky in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. The Midwest region, North Carolina, they got a number 1 seed. They are going to await the winner of Howard and Wagner. And then you got the 8-9 matchup, Mississippi State and Michigan State. Michigan State's going to win this game just because it's Tom Izzo. It's Michigan State. It doesn't matter what seed they are. They get in the NCAA tournament, they find a way to win games. And I'm not picking it in my bracket. Most of my bracket is chalk, but every now and then a number 8 seed will beat a 1 seed. If it's North Carolina and Michigan State in the second round, this is the most vulnerable number 1 seed. I think that Michigan State could win, but I'm not going to go against the grain. I'm going to pick North Carolina, but I would not be shocked if Michigan State pulls off the upset in the second round. This is why we fill out brackets. Some people fill out multiple brackets. If I was one of those multiple brackets persons, I would choose Michigan State to beat North Carolina in this situation. St. Mary's Grand Canyon. Not today, my friend. There will not be another number 12 seed win in a 5 matchup. St. Mary's is going to win this game. And Alabama, too strong against Charleston. I think Alabama wins the number 4. But if you are a person that likes to pick a 13 seed, and you look at all the 13-4 matchups, look, I think Bama might be the team that you could go against, but I think Alabama wins this one. All right, I got another number 11 seed beating a 6 seed. I got New Mexico beating Clemson. I'm just not impressed with Clemson as a number 6 seed, and they're a good regular season team. You get into the tournament, it's just a different ball game. New Mexico wins this one. Baylor and Colgate. Baylor's going to advance. I wouldn't be shocked if Colgate pulls off the upset. I mean, Baylor has lost in the tournament as a number 3 seed before. And then you got Dayton and Nevada, picking the number 10 seed over here. Nevada beats Dayton, and then Arizona advances over Long Beach State. So, second round matchup games. North Carolina taking on Michigan State. North Carolina advances. St. Mary's and Bama. Alabama advances. So, we're going to have a Sweet 16 matchup between North Carolina and Alabama. I got Baylor beating New Mexico State. I got Arizona beating Nevada. Baylor beats Arizona in the Sweet 16, which sets up for a North Carolina Baylor Elite Eight game where North Carolina advances to go to the Final Four. Finally, the West region. Purdue is the number one seed. Purdue has had trouble against double-digit seeds. They lost to Fairleigh Dickinson as a number one seed. They lost to 15 seed at St. Peter's. They've lost to Ohio. Purdue is going to face the winner of Montana State and Grambling. Grambling, by the way, this is their first NCAA tournament. Now, they'll play in the play-in game, and they will face Purdue. I got Purdue winning. I got TCU beating Utah State in the 8-9 matchup. I've got McNeese, who won over 30 games this year. Will Wade had his team rolling, and he's a good coach. Facing a Gonzaga team that there was a time where I thought Gonzaga was not going to make this NCAA tournament. They play in the West Coast Conference. They didn't even win their conference. They lost to St. Mary's. This Gonzaga team is very vulnerable. This is not the same Gonzaga team with Chet Holmgren, Drew Timmy, Ronnie Turioff. They just don't have, you know, Adam Morrison. They just don't have the players that they once had. And I thought the dynasty was going to be over. Well, it's going to be over pretty quick in the NCAA tournament because McNeese is going to win this game. So out of all the 12-5 matchups, I'm picking three of the 12 seeds to advance. Usually my bracket gets bursted after the first day. And I'm not even talking about the first day of the tournament on Thursday. I'm talking about in the play-in games. In the first round, on Tuesday and Wednesday. Kansas is a number four seed. Kansas was not very Kansas-like this season. They lost 9 games. They lose in their first game in the Big 12 tournament to Cincinnati, and they got blown out. They got blown out by Houston. This Kansas team is so vulnerable, but it's Bill Self. It's Kansas. It's the name on the jersey is why they got a number four seed. You got to say, well, how did Kansas get a number four seed? They lose in their first game of the conference tournament. Auburn gets a number four seed. They win the SEC. It's the name on the jersey. It's a blue blood. You can never go against blue bloods in this NCAA tournament. I see them beating Samford, and they're going to catch a break because in the second round, they're going to play McNeese. They're going to go to the Sweet 16 without breaking a sweat, where they will more than likely face Purdue, because I got Purdue beating TCU to face Kansas in the Sweet 16. And then down at the bottom bracket, South Carolina and Oregon, I got another upset. Oregon beating South Carolina as a number 11 seed. And then I've got Creighton and Akron. I got Creighton winning that game. Texas, they're going to face the winner of Virginia and Colorado State. I've got Texas winning that game. And I got Tennessee. They got to face a 15 seed St. Peter's. Remember 2 years ago, St. Peter's is a number 15 seed. And Jameel Holloway, who's now the coach at Seton Hall, was able to get the incredible Cinderella story where they lose to North Carolina in the Elite Eight. Can they do it again? Is Tennessee going to be that 2 seed that loses to a 15 seed? It happens every once in a while, but it's happened a lot lately. But I love Dalton Kennett. He is the top scorer in the country. I just think this Tennessee team, which at times were deserving of a number one seed, especially if they would have won the SEC tournament, Tennessee advances over St. Peter's. But you got second round matchups. Okay, so you got Purdue taking on TCU, Kansas taking on McNeese. You got Oregon taking on Creighton, and you got Texas taking on Tennessee. I'm calling my first upset. I know this is not going to sit well with Tennessee Volunteers fans. Texas beats Tennessee in the second round as a number 7 seed. Remember, Texas went to the Elite Eight last year, lost to Miami. I'm calling another upset. Oregon as a number 11 seed beats Creighton. So you got Oregon and Texas in the Sweet 16. Purdue and Kansas in the other Sweet 16 matchup. Purdue defeats Kansas. Texas beats Oregon. You got Texas and Purdue in the Elite Eight, which I think you got a number 7 seed. You know, anything can happen. You got a number 7 seed going to the Final Four. And I got a crazy bracket. I'm picking Texas to beat Purdue to go to the Final Four. So back to the East bracket where I started with UConn, the overall number 1 seed. I got an upset. So UConn does beat Florida Atlantic. Auburn beats UAB. The Sweet 16 matchup is UConn and Auburn. I'm calling the upset. Auburn beats the defending NCAA champions. I mean, UConn never repeats as champions. They're always like a number 5 seed, a number 7 seed, where they go on a run and they get hot. But this Auburn team, a very dangerous team with a lot of depth, I think they take it to UConn in that Sweet 16 game. And then I've got Illinois as a number 3 seed. They're going to get by Duquesne. And then you've got Drake. I'm picking Drake to beat Washington State. I got Iowa State beating Drake. And then Iowa State is going to take on Illinois in the Sweet 16 matchup where Illinois beats Iowa State. So you got an Elite Eight matchup between Illinois and Auburn. And I think Auburn's run ends. I want to see them go to the Final Four. But I think Auburn's run ends in the Elite Eight where they lose to Illinois. And so my Final Four, Illinois, Texas, Houston, and North Carolina. I got North Carolina beating Houston. And once again, I got the North Carolina Tar Heels winning the NCAA championship. That would be their 4th championship in this decade. But I could be wrong. My bracket could be completely in shambles after the first round of the NCAA tournament, which will take place on Thursday and Friday. I love those 2 days. Starting at noon, watching college basketball all the way through the rest of the evening. Now let's talk about the teams that got left out. Because there's always the controversy, well, how come these teams didn't get in? And since we got a field of 68, I mean, there's going to be debate. So let the debate begin. Let's start with the team that I felt they were projected to be a number 12 seed, but they weren't considered a bubble team. And you got to remember, 4 teams won their conference tournaments and they weren't even considered a bubble team. And they bursted 4 teams' bubbles. Central Florida, they got left out. They were deserving, but they did lose in the conference tournament, and so I can understand why the committee left them out. Oklahoma, I mean, they're playing in a tough conference. Not everybody can get in. Seton Hall, I thought that Seton Hall could have got in. They were considered a bubble team. St. John's was considered a bubble team. Pitt, Indiana State, they had a decent record, but you don't win your conference, and sometimes you're going to get left out. The big controversy was Colorado State getting into this NCAA tournament. That Colorado State was not deserving. Possibly Virginia wasn't deserving. I don't know. I think Colorado and Boise State also had a case on why they weren't deserving of a tournament bid. That is my bracket. But don't go anywhere because we have got more show. After this, I got to talk about the Columbus Lions getting the big win over the Amarillo Venom. The River Dragons sweep the series with the Baton Rouge Zydeco. We've got high school baseball. I'll tell you where I'm going to be for Georgia Alabama Sports Live later today. And we also still got to talk about NFL free agency. You don't want to go anywhere. It's a Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. And we'll be right back.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
We're back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. It is the day after the field of 68 for the men's and women's bracket in college basketball has been set. The number one seeds are set in the women's tournament as it's South Carolina, Texas, Iowa, and USC. The defending NCAA champions, LSU, got a number three seed and a very interesting potential second round matchup. Louisville is the number six seed. They are led by their senior and former Carver Lady Tiger, Olivia Cochran, taking on MTSU. I think that would be great if Louisville played LSU in the second round. I'll actually break down the women's bracket tomorrow, and I'll also talk about some of the NIT matchups as well, but the brackets are set starting on Tuesday with the play-in games, 6:40 on True TV. We've got Wagner taking on Howard, and then at 9:10 p.m., we got Colorado State taking on Virginia on Wednesday. We got two 16 seeds, Grambling and Montana State, and then Colorado and Boise State. Let's talk about some of the local things that's happening in and around the Chattahoochee Valley. First off, I do want to say on Friday, I broke here on the show because it happened early Friday morning. I actually received word about the St. Apicelli athletic director and head basketball coach of the defending GIAA champions, St. Apicelli. Athletic Director Corey Black did step down as he accepted a position as the Dean of Scholars for a local private school in Midland. So wish him the best of luck. The Columbus Lions got off to a very good start in the season opener in the American Indoor Football League as the defending American Indoor Football Alliance champions. Switching leagues, they were in this league back in 2016 when they won it all. And the Lions get the 47-26 victory over the Amarillo Venom. Amarillo led things off with a kickoff return to make it 8-0. But then Marcus Brooks, touchdown pass to Demisio Ewing. Columbus Lions went up 21-8. Then it was 21-14. It seemed like it was a close game. And then the Columbus Lions just put away the game. And you really got to give credit to the Lions defense. When you have players like Darrell Green, a talented defensive back, when you have Ken Washington, and of course the Columbus Lions talented receivers, Jarmon Fortson and Demisio Ewing, Marcus Brooks, he has been an all-world quarterback from last season going into this season. I think the Columbus Lions are not only going to dominate in this league, but I expect another championship. They will have a bye this week. And then on March the 28th, on a Thursday edition, they will travel to Batesville, Mississippi to take on the Mississippi Raiders, which is a rematch of the American Indoor Football Alliance Championship from last season, as the Mississippi Raiders have moved on to the American Indoor Football League. And the Lions' home opener is going to be on April the 12th at the Columbus Civic Center, where they will face the Amarillo Venom once again. The Columbus River Dragons, they get the 4-2 victory and then the 8-4 victory against the Baton Rouge Zydeco Saturday and Sunday, that Sunday afternoon game. That pushes their record to 33-4-3. They currently have 110 points in the Federal Prospects Hockey League. They are led by their leading scorer, Justin McDonald, who has 99 points. He looks like a candidate to win the FPHL Most Valuable Player this season. Kyle Moore has 60 points, and then Ryan Hunter with 56. The River Dragons will host the Motor City Rockers for a three-game series this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Columbus Civic Center. Columbus State Baseball had a tough weekend. They had a rainout on Friday. They dropped 2 out of 3 against Lander. They are currently 16-11 overall. They ended up getting the 10-3 victory on Sunday, but they lost the doubleheader on Saturday, 5-2 and 2-1. They are going to have a road trip as they will take on West Alabama and then a three-game series up in South Carolina against USC Aiken. Their next home game at Burger King Stadium at Ragsdale Field will be March the 26th against Auburn University at Montgomery. Meanwhile, the Columbus State softball team got the three-game sweep over Augusta University over the weekend at Cougar Field. They are 18-12 overall. Want to remind everybody that on Georgia Alabama Sports Live at 5:30 today, we've got the Columbus Blue Devils taking on the Brookstone Cougars. Brookstone is 11-3 on the season. They took 2 out of 3 against St. Apicelli last week in the three-game series. They are 2-1 in their region. They did lose to Pacelli on Saturday. That was a makeup game from Friday. There was rain in the forecast. A lot of games got shifted over to Saturday, and we are looking forward to live streaming that game. And then we're going to have Columbus again on Tuesday. That's going to be at Harris County. Rick Beach of Kudzu Sports will be on the call. And then our schedule is very flexible on Friday. There is rain in the forecast again. We would like to do Hardaway and Shaw, but it's not set in stone because of the rain in the forecast. If they reschedule that game, we're probably not going to do it, because on Saturday, Britt Barringer and I will have our Georgia Alabama Sports Live show live from the showroom at Glenn Smith Chevrolet GMC up in Opelika. That should be a lot of fun. And then Thrift and I are going to try to get some Georgia Alabama Sports Live shows this week as well. NFL free agency, we've had just a crazy weekend. I mean, Kenny Pickett gets traded to the Eagles. The Steelers acquire Justin Fields. Tyron Smith, the all-pro left tackle, goes to the Jets. There's just a lot of crazy moves in the NFL. And then one more thing before I get Gabe here on the show. The NBA. I actually sat down and I watched the Warriors and the Lakers on Saturday night. That was the NBA showcase game. If Steph Curry gets hot, I just don't think there's anybody stopping him. The Lakers don't have the defense to stop anybody. And if it's a 9-10 matchup between the Lakers and the Warriors, and the Warriors are at home, that was a very important game, because now the Warriors could have home court if it's a 9-10 matchup and the Warriors would get ninth place. Anthony Davis, the health of Anthony Davis has really been a question mark for the Los Angeles Lakers this year. He played a little bit in the first half. He did not play in the second half, and that was the difference. The Lakers are a different team without AD in the lineup. Meanwhile, last night, I'm talking late last night, the Atlanta Hawks got the very surprising 110-93 victory over the Los Angeles Clippers. I mean, this was a very good win, especially since they lost a heartbreaker on the road to the Jazz on Friday, 124-122. They lose to the Blazers, a team that they shouldn't have lost to. They snap a three-game win streak, and they will take on LeBron and the Los Angeles Lakers tonight, 10:30. At the Crypto Arena, as that was a very good win for the Hawks. They're still a play-in borderline team, but still no Trae Young, still no Jalen Johnson. DeAndre Hunter did have 20 points. DeJounte Murray chipped in with 21. And I'm kind of shocked that the Clippers had no bench scoring. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George got their points. Kawhi with 28, Paul George with 26. James Harden was terrible, 3-10. I mean, he disappeared. Russell Westbrook didn't even play in this game. P.J. Tucker, well, he's the second oldest player in the NBA, and he seems like he's always on these championship teams. The Clippers, yeah, that was a bad loss. Absolutely bad loss. What we are going to do now is we're going to go ahead and take another break. But when we come back, I'm going to bring Gabe Reynolds on the show. You don't want to go anywhere. It's a Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. Present it by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and we'll be right back.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan.
Back here on the show once again, I have got a very special guest. You know, a couple weeks ago I had my 800th episode, and I was tallying up the amount of appearances of the 54 guests that I've had on the show for the past 4 years. And there is no question that this guy is my number one guest with the most appearances. Please welcome to the show, Gabe Reynolds.
Hey, everybody. Happy March. It's March Madness, and it's time. It is time. It is time. It's the best time of the year to be a sports fan.
Oh, Gabe, I've printed out my not only men's bracket, but my women's bracket as well. I mean, you could thank Caitlin Clark for that. I mean, and Angel Reese. They have made the women's tournament just so compelling. I'm excited to watch both.
Man, you got star power on the women's side. Like I said, you got Angel Reese. You got Flaje Johnson. You got South Carolina. You got Caitlin Clark. You got Paige Beckers. You got Juju Smith. The women's tournament is going to be epic. On the men's side, oh, man, you got 8 teams from the SEC, 8 teams from the Big 12. You got 3 teams from the Big East, who is supposed to be the second best conference in the nation. You got NC State, who won 5 games in 5 days to just get into the tournament. You got Rick Pitino talking about the net, saying we should never talk about the net no more. Like, oh, my God, like, we are in March, and I'm loving it as a college basketball fan.
Gabe, the biggest controversy in my mind, you got 2 number 4 seeds that completely, it's because of the name brand. Auburn wins the SEC tournament. They are not only a number 4 seed. They're in a tough bracket with the defending champion UConn, the overall number 1 seed. And then you got Kansas, who lost 9 games this year, got ousted in their first game of the Big 12 tournament. I honestly think that Kansas got a number 4 seed because they're Kansas. The name on their jersey, that's why they got the number 4 seed. You could argue all day about strength of schedule. But there is absolutely no way you're telling me that Auburn is a number 4 seed winning the SEC tournament and Kansas is a number 4 seed and they lost 9 games this year. It has been a down year for Kansas. Kansas should have got a number 5 or even a number 6 seed. Would you agree?
I think you can – the case for Auburn is probably the hottest team right now, one of the hottest teams right now in basketball. And – Let's just call it what it is. Like, Auburn took advantage of the fact that both Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama got upset early in the SEC tournament, and that just gave them a clear path to get through and win the SEC championship. And then on top of that, they played Florida, who one of their top players suffered a gruesome injury in the game, and Florida never could recover from that. I think Auburn had a case to be a 3 seed, but I think they're fine with the 4. I don't think anybody wants to play Auburn in that bracket, especially UConn. But then when you look at Kansas on the other side, yeah, it was a down year for Kansas. Like, it was a one off, and then they got upset early in the Big 12 tournament. You know, Kansas got what they got. I mean, it's no different than Kentucky. What did really Kentucky do this year? Kentucky, they were hot and cold. They were up and down. But yet Kentucky got a 3 seed, I believe. So you got the blue bloods that are going to always get first picks. And then you got the mid majors, the no names. I mean, let's be honest. St. John's, Providence, Seton Hall, they should have been in the tournament. And they had a better resume, better strength of schedule than some of these other teams that got in. And I get the bid still. Okay, how did Virginia get in the tournament? How's Virginia in the tournament and St. John's is not in the tournament? How is Virginia in the tournament and Indiana State is not in the tournament? Is it because Indiana State didn't win their conference tournament? Probably so. Is Virginia in because St. John's, they just don't know about them? Like, I don't agree with the committee, but I understand why the committee did what they did. But, I mean, I think this just adds to the debate that they're going to end up expanding the tournament more. But I hope they don't do it because it's going to kind of water down everything. Kansas, y'all know y'all should have been a 7, like a 6, maybe a 7. But y'all got lucky. Y'all better not squander it, because there'll be a lot of teams talking about y'all for getting in and y'all didn't deserve to get this seed that you got.
Gabe, 3 number 5 seeds and 1 number 9 seed represented the Final 4 last year. The number 1 seed, it's not all that it's cracked out to be. I actually think the field is wide open. We haven't had a repeat champion since the 06-07 Florida Gators. UConn, usually, they got five of these. They usually win the tournament when they're like a number seven seed, and you have a Kemba Walker who gets hot at the right time. And last year, they were a number five seed. 2014, a number seven seed. I think that UConn gets upset in the Sweet 16 by Auburn. I'm looking at my bracket right now. I got Auburn losing to Illinois in the Elite Eight. I think that Illinois is going to represent in the Final Four. I think that they have an easy path. I think they're going to beat Morehead State. I got Drake beating Washington State. Duquesne is going to beat BYU. So Illinois' path is going to be a little bit easier. And then Iowa State, I have Illinois beating Iowa State. I mean, what does your bracket look like? Do you have any crazy upsets, or do you usually pick chalk?
I'll be honest, I haven't really had a chance to like sit down and just go over the bracket just yet. I just been like hit or miss looking at things, but I will tell you, I have never gone wrong with the 12-5 upset. Every year I pick at least two 12 seeds to upset a five seed.
I got three of them.
And then I also go, you know, with the, I think it's the 11-6.
Oh, that's a good one. We even have some favorites. I got Duquesne beating BYU. I got New Mexico beating Clemson.
Yeah, those upsets right there are the ones that I really go with. I mean, it's happened. It's now happened two times now. A 16 has beaten a one seed. Last year, Purdue got beat in the first round, and then we all know the history making Virginia lost to University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC. So, if I'm a 16 seed, like I'm looking like if I'm a one seed, I'm like, hey, we can't take nobody for granted. Like let's be honest, like the talk around Nashville is Tennessee is not guaranteed to make it because they were talking about the Rick Barnes game of Tennessee possibly playing Texas, but Tennessee got to play St. Peter's, and St. Peter's was a final, was a game away. Did they make it? No, they were a game away from the Final Four.
To the Elite Eight. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were a game away from the Final Four last year, and St. Peter's, like,
2 years ago, yeah. St. Peter's.
They still got some people that were on that team.
Yeah. You got – Tennessee is the most vulnerable number two seed right now. I'm looking – the number one seeds – if there was a number one seed that could lose, I highly doubt it, even a North Carolina. But I actually think the team that could be vulnerable in the second round might be Purdue. Remember, Purdue has lost to double-digit seeds in three of these tournaments. They lost to St. Peter's 2 years ago. They have lost to Ohio. They have lost to Fairmont Dickinson last year as a number one seed. I think Purdue is probably the most vulnerable number one seed. Out of the West bracket, I've got Texas as a number seven seed beating Tennessee in the Sweet 16, and I've got Texas beating Purdue in the Elite Eight. I still think Purdue is going to get to the Elite Eight, but that is my dark horse. Texas, a number seven seed going to the Final Four. I know that's a crazy bracket. I kind of got a little crazy bracket there, Gabe.
I mean, that's the good thing. Like, I probably won't actually do my bracket until after the first four games are done. And then once the first four games are done, then I'll know, like, that fill-in part. Like, okay, because I know Virginia is in it in the play-in game. I think, isn't Gonzaga in the play-in game?
Oh, Gonzaga's a number five seed.
Who's in the – I know –
It's Virginia and Colorado State, and then Boise State and Colorado.
Okay. I like my chances. I like Colorado. Colorado State, I'm not so sure about.
Oh, but yeah, there's no doubt. I got Colorado beating Boise State, and I got them beating Florida in the first round because Florida lost their best player.
Yeah, Florida's vulnerable. Like, that sucks for Florida. Maybe, you know, the team will rally up and play for their teammate, but I don't think they can overcome that emotion of what happened on Sunday in the championship game to do that. Yeah, I just don't see it. But I think Colorado gets in. I think it's gonna be I'm trying to pull my bracket up, but I think it's gonna be some. I don't think it's gonna be significant upsets, but I do see some upsets getting ready to happen.
Looking at the 2-15 match, I remember last year Princeton beat Arizona, who was a number two seed. Arizona is a number two seed again, having to play Long Beach State. You never want to underestimate the Big West. I actually think. And I'm not gonna pick this. I mean, if there's a 15-2 that I would pick, it would be St. Peter's over Tennessee. But the next one, if I had a multiple brackets, I would pick Long Beach State, possibly upsetting Arizona. I think that game's gonna be close. I think that Long Beach State, they beat UC Davis in the Big West Championship. Arizona is a vulnerable number two seed. I could see that game being close. Looking at the number three, number four matchups, I mean, you got Baylor taking on Colgate, Kentucky taking on Oakland, Illinois taking on Morehead State, and then you got Creighton taking on Akron. Is there a number 14 seed that you could see pulling off the upset?
Let me see. Now that I got my bracket up. A 14 seed. Nah, I don't see Morehead State beating Illinois. Akron-Creighton game might be pretty interesting just because of style of play. One is a grinded out style, and Creighton likes to get up and down. And Kentucky should always be on guard whenever they play a team like this. Like, it would count as, are your teams going to be mentally up for the challenge, or are they already looking forward to the NBA draft?
The 3-14 matchups, I'm not going to call it an upset. I think it's going to be closer than people anticipate. Charleston keeps it close against Alabama. You also have Duke versus Vermont. You got Auburn and Yale, and you got Kansas and Samford. I think even though Kansas doesn't deserve to be a number four team, Kansas is going to, you know, they're just going to play well. They didn't deserve a number four seed, but they're going to just do what they do. I mean, they had a terrible regular season with 9 losses, but Kansas is going to figure a way out. Remember, they lost to Arkansas in the second round last year. I think Kansas beats Samford, and then I have McNeese beating Gonzaga. I got Kansas, because they have a favorable matchup, going to the Sweet 16 and losing to Purdue.
Well, I got it the opposite way. Looking at, I mean, Gonzaga's not as strong as they've been, but they're still Gonzaga. I got Gonzaga beating McNeese State. And but, I mean, you know, Will Wade is having a great year, you know, down there. So, who knows? You know, rumor has it Wake Forest is going to be making a call to try to get Will Wade over to Wake Forest. But if McNeese State does win that game, they got a pretty good chance to get into the Sweet 16. I'm going to tell you the game to watch out for that's going to surprise some people. That Grand Canyon St. Mary's game, that's going to be almost must-see TV.
That's very interesting, because
that's going to be must-see TV.
Gabe, that's the only 5-12 matchup that I'm picking St. Mary's. I actually went the other way. I got UAB beating the runners-up last year, San Diego State. I got James Madison beating Wisconsin. And I got McNeese beating Gonzaga.
I'm going to tell you, man, Bryce Drew got Grand Canyon playing pretty well. Pretty well. Don't sleep on that one.
I'm telling you, this is absolutely fascinating coverage right now. Me and Gabe just going through the brackets. I know you have right now millions and millions of people fill out a bracket every year. People who are not even college basketball fans, but they fill out their bracket. And my bracket's always busted after that first day. And, you know, sometimes people go crazy. Hopefully it's not like a crazy year where we have 15 and 14 seeds making it to the Sweet 16. But if you go chalk, it's not a bad idea. But out of all the top seeds, Gabe, tell me, just by looking at the bracket, who do you got in the Final Four?
Ooh, that's hard. that's hard. So I'm gonna do it like this. I'm gonna go by region. So Midwest.
You got North Carolina, number one seed.
Arizona, number two. I'm in the Midwest. So on the Midwest side of the bracket, I'm probably gonna go with Oregon. If Tennessee can get past St. Peter's, I got Tennessee, Oregon in the Sweet 16. Whoever wins that game goes to the Final Four. I don't see Purdue getting all the way to the Elite Eight. I think Purdue is gonna get tripped up by TCU or by Kansas. But I got Oregon. I like Oregon going to the Final Four. Going to the Final Four out of the Midwest. Out of the West, I'm gonna go with North Carolina. I think they're gonna right the ship and get everything back right. Arizona. I think it'll be Arizona and North Carolina in the Elite Eight at the Staples Center, with North Carolina winning that one. In the East, I mean, you can't bet against UConn, man. Like, yes, I think Auburn's gonna give UConn fits in the Sweet 16, but I mean, they just got too much. They played at a high level all year. It'll be Illinois and UConn in the Elite Eight, with UConn coming out of there. And then in the South, playing in Dallas, that's going to be home court advantage. I'm going to go with Houston in that one. So then you'll have Houston versus Oregon. You'll have UConn versus North Carolina. I like North Carolina versus Houston, with Kelvin Sampson finally getting the monkey off his back, and Kelvin Sampson and the Houston Cougars winning the national championship.
Gabe, that is a great pick. I've kind of gone a little bit different. I actually have North Carolina in the West coming out of that bracket. In the South, I've got Houston. I got Houston. In the East, I got Illinois. And in the West, I got Texas, number seven seed, making it to the Final Four for the first time since 2003. They went to the Elite Eight last year, lost to Miami. I got North Carolina winning the whole thing. And the reason why, Armando Bacot, one of the best players in college basketball, they have won three championships in this century. They are a blue blood. They have the steam of being a preseason number one last year, not even making it to the tournament. I think Hubert Davis is going to get them back to where they need to be. Remember, they were in the championship game 2 years ago against Kansas. I think they learned their lesson. They were hungry to try to get back to the tournament last year, and they just fell flat on their face, didn't even make it to the tournament. I think not only do they have an easy path to get to the Final Four, I think that North Carolina has all the tools to win a championship. And if it is UConn, remember, UConn hasn't beaten a blue blood since Duke in 99. They've had a lot of breaks in their championships, taking on a Butler team, a San Diego State team, a Georgia Tech team. They were all happy to be there. They took on a Kentucky team that was a number eight seed. But still, UConn has not had to face like a number one seed blue blood. But here's a team that you don't want to sleep on, and that's Michigan State. You know, Michigan State, this is where they want to be. They want to be like a number seven seed or a number eight seed to sneak up on people. We saw Syracuse do that a couple years ago, get to the Final Four. Is it possible that North Carolina is vulnerable and Michigan State, which I have them beating Mississippi State in that first game, the 8-9 matchup, is it possible that Michigan State beats North Carolina in that second round game?
It's possible. But here's the thing with Michigan State. You there they're so hit and miss. They're so up and down. You never know where they're going to be, what they're going to do. Like, they, Michigan State kind of like is a, what I would call a Russian roulette type team. If they're on, they're on. If they're off, they're off. And I mean, we all know what type of teams that Sparty has, but you just never know. You just never know. I think now, don't get me wrong. Mississippi State is a compelling team and a team to be, you know, to be reckoned with because of how they played during the SEC tournament. So I mean, it's gonna be it could go either way, if that makes sense. It could go either way. But I think Mississippi State beats Michigan State.
And this is why we have brackets. I love it. This is my favorite time of the year. I mean, I'm gonna be, well, at work, but glued to my phone watching March Madness all day Thursday and Friday. It's the best 2 days of sports. I know that I talked about how I love conference tournament play leading up to the NCAA tournament. Now, once again, I've already had a rant on my show about how there's no NCAA tournament teams from the state of Georgia, but that's neither here or there. Who do you got on the women's side?
I'm going to say this. I already got South Carolina in there. South Carolina's in there. They're the only undefeated team, men's and women, and they, you know, they're a young team. Like, this team is, they're all freshmen. The majority of them are freshmen, and a lot of them that are playing this year didn't play last year. And the SEC tournament was when they got tested, the Tennessee game, where they blew a 23-point lead and had to win it at the buzzer, and the LSU game where they didn't pull away until pretty much the end. So I got South Carolina in there. But let's talk about that Elite Eight game potentially between LSU and Angel Reese and Iowa and Caitlin Clark.
I think they did that on purpose.
They won the championship game last year. Now they're playing in the Elite Eight?
Yeah, the committee did that on purpose. They want to see the rematch.
Yeah, but that should have been saved for the Final Four. I think they messed up right there.
Well, yeah, they did. But how is LSU a number three seed?
Hey man, that's the controversy in the SEC on the women's side. There are only two ranked SEC teams: LSU and South Carolina. Ole Miss is not ranked. Tennessee is not ranked. Texas A&M. Well, really, that's about it. Tennessee, Ole Miss. Neither one of them are ranked. Only LSU and South Carolina. I don't know. That's so. Kim Mulkey had a lot to do with that. Plus, they're the defending national champions. That's probably why LSU is a three seed. I got LSU upset beating Iowa. Just too much firepower on that LSU team. I got USC getting there, and I don't even know who my last one's gonna be, because like I think South Carolina's in a South Carolina's gotta run the gauntlet because Notre Dame is in their bracket. I think UConn is in their bracket. Stanford is in their bracket, so it's gonna be tough over there. But that, I mean, you got some compelling matchups that are gonna happen.
Gabe, I gotta be honest with you. I think that this is the year that Iowa wins the NCAA championship with Caitlin Clark. I know South Carolina is tough. Iowa did beat them in the Final Four last year, but there's a team that you shouldn't ever sleep on. And that is the UConn Huskies with Gina Auriemma, who's the GOAT when it comes to the all-time wins in women's college basketball. Paige Bueckers coming off that injury. I mean, that's a very good team that could probably win. I like Stanford being a West Coast guy. They won the championship. Tara Vandeveer. Actually, let me take that back, because Tara Vandeveer actually has the most wins in women's college basketball history. She passed Gina Auriemma. She is the GOAT. I mean, what am I saying? I cannot sleep on Tara Vandeveer.
Tara's got the most wins, but Gino's got the most championships.
It's all about those rings.
Either way you go, you can't go wrong. But I mean, I think it's going to be harder for Gino. I don't think the UConn mystique is as strong as it used to be. I think that has shifted down to Columbia, South Carolina, and what Dawn Staley is doing. Everybody is looking to go there, and if it's not there, they're going up to Indiana and going to Notre Dame. And then if you're not going there, you're going to LSU or you're going to Stanford. So it's USC just reloaded for next year. They just signed the number one player in the nation. Ohio State is getting a gem in Jelani Cambridge out of Nashville coming in next year. So if Gino's going to do something, this is the year to do it, because it's only going to get harder after this.
Absolutely. Gabe, I would love to get you back on next week so we could talk about these brackets and see where our picks are, and hopefully our brackets aren't too busted up. What are your thoughts about this crazy last couple of weeks in NFL free agency? And your Cowboys really were quiet as far as making any moves.
King Henry left Nashville and went to Baltimore. Tony Pollard left the Cowboys and came home to Nashville. Calvin Ridley left Jacksonville and came to Nashville. Aaron Donald retired. The Bears picked up Russell Wilson and then traded for the Bears quarterback. And it's like, man, like, it's wild out here. And look at what's going on in Buffalo. Buffalo, they basically – They got rid of everybody since they didn't win the championship last year. Like, it's a fire sale going on up in Buffalo. And, man, that free agency so far in the NFL is crazy.
Also, you got to mention Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles.
I forgot. That was the big one.
Oh, my. How desperate do the Eagles look right now? I mean, they change coordinators. Nick Sirianni, if you don't make it to the Super Bowl, he's done. He's out of a job.
If he don't win the Super Bowl, he's got to win the Super Bowl.
He's got to win.
All the pressure is on it. They gave you everything. You got a running back. Didn't they get another receiver or something? They got A.J. Brown. They got somebody else, I think, besides Saquon. But the offensive side of the ball for them is like, right now, it's like, it's win or else.
Win or else. That is right. Gabe, I always appreciate you being on the show. I know that we pretty much spent the majority of the time talking about these brackets, but definitely would love for you to come back on next week, and we can just recap what's going on and preview the Sweet 16, and then talk a little bit more about the NFL offseason.
Hey, man, I'm down. I'm down for it now. My basketball season is over with, and everything is done with high school ball, so I got a little bit more free time now.
Yeah, I appreciate you talking about that. Congratulations on a successful season. I noticed that your basketball season's over. Our alma mater is in the Sweet 16 on the men's basketball team. You know, it's a great time to be a basketball fan.
Oh yes, this is March. this is the best time of the year if you're a basketball fan.
All right, that's Gabe Reynolds, everybody. He is also the head basketball coach of Ezell Harding Christian High School out of Nashville, Tennessee. I think Antioch, Tennessee. A suburb just outside of Nashville. But thank you again, Gabe.
No problem, man. Appreciate you having me.
All right, that's it. That is our show. I want to thank everybody who has listened to the show. Don't forget, I got Philip Jordan. He's coming on tomorrow. It's the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Have a great rest of your day.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.